Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, to get 30, to get 20, 20, 20, to get 20, 20, to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
This is the Rose and Shine podcast with us, Victoria Rusolsen
and Josephine Roos. We are Swedish sisters, and in our podcast, we explore career and well-being.
So join us for inspiration and practical insights from our own international lives and careers. Good morning. This is Victoria sending from Atlanta.
And good afternoon. This is Josephine from Mallorca.
So Josephine, tell me, did you ever regret taking time out to go for a walk, a run, or a yoga session? However busy you were, did you ever regret it?
That pushes me to think, did I ever regret it? I don't think I can come up with a time that I have regretted it. No.
No.
Perhaps maybe if I got soaked, if it really started to pour rain or something like that. But no, top of mind, I think it's always given back some energy, right?
Yes, yes. I do. That makes me think of a time when I actually decided to bike around the lake, which is about 8 miles or something like that. So a little bit over 10K. And midway through, the sky opened and the rain, the tropical rain of Atlanta, sort of the south, just came pouring down. And, you know, I didn't have to like bike very far until I was like soaking. And there was nowhere to sort of hide from this rain.
Yeah.
You know, it was just like to accept the fact and just think about it and laugh about it that, yeah, this is what's going to happen.
But that makes me think. So I'm in the midst of buying bikes at the moment. Mallorca is like a heaven for bike and road bikes uh-huh. and so on. I'm not a specialist in that yet. But e-bikes, of course, are also incredibly popular. And I think at that kind of 10K, I mean, that is what how people that have sold e-bikes to me have said. It's not about less exercise.
Uh-huh.
But it's like when you hit that, you know, 10K, and you need to go home and yeah. it's thunder outside and you have a big mountain to climb. You know, it's incredibly nice.
It's handy, right? A little, but I don't know. I've never been on one even, but I can just imagine like just press a little button and like I'm done.
Yeah, no, I think that I mean, maybe this whole episode could be a commercial for e-bikes, you know, so you never have to regret the
Let's
workout.
See. For definitely it is. I mean, all of you who are listening to us and thank you everyone for staying so loyal. You know that we feel very passionate about moving. And I think probably most people who've ever been in a class with me also know that I'm extremely passionate about moving. And moving makes us feel so good, ultimately. Hopefully, mostly of the time. I mean, of course, there are times when we're exhausted. Now I do think about like once when I went to my first spinning class and I had to go and lay down on the floor in the gym afterwards.
Yeah.
And I was all new. So, of course, there are moments, right, that can be a little bit hard. But we really want to take this moving into sort of a bigger perspective, right?
Yes. So in today's episode, we really want to talk about how to move through your day.
Mm-hmm.
So not just physically moving, but almost how to kind of balance your day or go through your day, and also how to use the movement to optimize your brain.
Yeah, so really also a little bit more around the why.
Mm-hmm.
I think we've spoken, like, not just you and me, but in general, people it's been like movement is sort of your way to lose weight or whatever, stay fit. But we want to really talk about a bigger picture and give more context around why movement really, really makes a difference in our lives.
And how to include it in our life and in our workday.
Yes.
So moving from that idea of just like our health, relating movement to our health, and also look at it that how can it actually help us to become smarter? Because there's a lot of science and a lot of research coming out that, you know, movement and incorporating movement in a smart way makes us learn better, remember better, concentrate better, and so on.
Yes. So we're not really just, you know, talking about exercise. This is, as you've already said, like in a broader sense and what it really can do to make us smarter. So I am extremely inspired by this book that I just read, The Extended Mind, The Power of Thinking Outside the Brain by Annie Murphy Paul. So I wanted to sort of lead out with an example from her book. Okay, and I have it here. Which is sort of starting of how actually movement makes us think smarter and think better. And this entire book, I think, is sort of packed with examples and good research and all of that. But one example of the many great ones that stood out to me was about a Dr. Fidler, who's a radiologist in Minnesota. And his sort of main purpose and his big job is to review X-ray images, right? Mm-hmm. And he reviews like thousands of them. And I do think the whole idea why he got started into this was he felt that he could lose a little bit of weight. So instead of just sitting down reviewing these thousands of X-ray pictures, he actually invested in a treadmill. Mm-hmm. So he was going to walk. So he, instead of sitting down at his desk observing all these images, he was walking on the treadmill.
Yeah.
And in a year, he lost 25 pounds. So he was very happy about that. But then he also started to really think like, I feel like I have a better accuracy in finding like the problems here on the X-ray pictures. Mm-hmm. And then he sort of said, I'd like to see a sort of do a little bit more research on this. So he got other fellow doctors in his network to participate in this research, and where basically half of the group remained seated and half of the group did just what he did. They were reviewing all the X-ray pictures and images while walking. So not a fast walk necessarily, sort of a normal stroll, really. Mm-hmm. And this was so interesting. So their hit rate of spotting like abnormalities, if you wish, irregularities, was normally 85%. And that's what it remained for the ones in the who kept sitting. Mm-hmm. But the ones that started to walk, their hit rate went to a fully 99%.
To 99%?
Yes.
Wow.
Isn't that pretty cool?
That's amazing.
Right?
So that's amazing.
Because sometimes when I'm delivering my workshops and I force everyone
what's your
to
accuracy
stand
rate
up,
in your workshop?
You know, but I have my participant. I'm like, okay, let's stand up. And I can see on their faces, they're like, really? Again? You know, not everyone, but some. And even like me, like when someone's telling me to stand up, my first initial reaction might even be like, ah, right? Yeah. But that was just so cool to say that it actually makes us smarter. Mm. And, you know, like it makes us so like moving from 85%, which is already great, I guess, to 99%. It's awesome.
It's fantastic. And I didn't know that the figure was so great. But when you told me about this example and that it had improved the accuracy rate, I started to look in a little bit more into why. And it's this book and this scientist in Sweden, Anders Hansen, we referred to him before. He's written a book called Jan Stark, essentially like strong brain, where he looks into a lot of this research around movement. And it tells some of the normal stuff, right, around depression and that we feel better and it's a happy pill and all of that stuff, which is so important. But in terms of what you were saying, he talks about how movement enables better concentration, better analysis, better ability to plan. And the reason for this is that it's been always been related with movement and heightened pulse. So with our body and how our brain developed, when we had a heightened pulse, when we were moving, the brain, it was signals to the brain saying, you know, something important is happening. Hmm. You are maybe, you know, running away from something. You are out and about, you're moving. Therefore, the brain needs to remember. You need to learn.
It's almost like you're telling your brain whenever you sit down that now you don't have to think because you're resting.
Exactly. Right? It is exactly like that. I mean, that is what the science is saying. That is why you get more stupid watching TV and sitting down, because you're essentially telling the body that nothing important is happening now.
Which is then so interesting, because what do we do at work? And more importantly, what do we do at school?
Yeah, I
right?
know.
So it's like we tell all these kids, sit down and focus. Mm-hmm. When in reality, we are wired the complete opposite way.
Yeah, no, exactly. And beyond that, then, of course, the more easier to understand, perhaps, is that the movement increases the blood flow to the prefrontal cortex, which is that area, you know, where it really is easier to focus and have longer term goals. So it really helps us to activate the right part of the brain. But importantly, though, it mm-hmm. also does say that you shouldn't exhaust yourself completely. Like the yeah. treadmill and the walking is probably perfect for increasing your accuracy. Because obviously, if you are in a super stressed or, you know, a HIIT session or whatever, during that session, you're telling your body essentially that it's fight or flight.
Yeah.
And at that time, the brain doesn't need to learn anything. It just needs to escape.
Okay. So that is a really good and important distinction here that I think we need to make clear, that we're talking right now of movement that is standing up instead of sitting down, which really means like micro movements. It's about having a nice walk that isn't too quick, you know, but just sort of a nice walk. We'll talk more about what these HIIT sessions or these mm-hmm. running sessions, what they can do for your brain and for your well-being and your focus. But right now, this part here is more getting these constant micro movements into our day, right?
Yeah, no, exactly. And perhaps a bit of both. But it is interesting, that part, that exhausting yourself is not necessarily what's going to make your day more productive or better.
Well, so talking about then exhausting ourselves, we're going to go there now. Actually, the research that I've read, and I think Anders Hansen is also pointing this out, is that we should do that. But I mean, not all the time, but it
not while it's learning.
Not while learning. Exactly.
Yes.
It is actually great to do ahead of learning. Mm-hmm. So before you're going to do something, and so this is not scientific, but we all know by now that I'm a super fan of Peloton, right? And it's interesting that the mornings where I go down and do my 20 minutes, 25 minutes of Peloton speed biking in the morning, I'm just like so much more ready to take on the day when I've done that in the morning.
Yeah. Yeah, no, exactly. And the studies have shown this, right? Mm-hmm. So they have shown that by improving your condition training,
yes,
your memory improves just by including some condition training or pulse training.
Pulse training, right? Well, yeah, many.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. But, you know, where
cardio, really, like quick.
Cardio where your pulse are high. And what is interesting with that is that they found that the impacts of this is immediate. So they did studies with people that have really bad cardio or you know, that, mm-hmm. that didn't have this kind of training before. And just after a session, they improved their memory.
Exactly. So you really get the instant gratification there.
Yeah.
It's so smart.
So as you can hear, we're very passionate about this. It's amazing. But and also what has been found in this same line of research is that we can actually increase our brain cells. And 2 decades ago, that was not really a known fact. Mm. We thought that we were born with brain cells and that they, you know, were killed off.
Yes, diminished the older we got.
Exactly.
But I'm so pleased with the new research.
Exercise is one of the ways. I don't know if there's more. I'm not a scientist on this, but is one way at least that you can actually increase the production. You can create new brain cells. And I knew that. But what I didn't know, though, was that they're very vulnerable, the newly created brain cells, after they have been created. Mm-hmm. So just doing
like a newborn.
Exercise, yes, is not necessarily enough.
Ah.
So brain cells actually need a reason to live.
Oh.
So when they have been created after a bit of exercise or however they have been created, you need to make sure that they are stimulated.
Nourished.
Yes.
Yeah.
Nourished, stimulated. So how do you stimulate them? Well, it says here in the science that it could be by seeing new places, meeting new people, or learning new things.
So don't waste them by sitting down in front of the TV and tell your brain to do nothing. That's what you're saying.
Give your brain cells a reason to live.
Oh, I'm loving that. Okay, so I am thinking that we've provided everyone that's listening with good enough facts, like, or the why, right? The why behind
no,
the
No, I
why.
Have one more why.
Oh, okay, though, okay, go ahead. Yeah? tell us.
A walk 5 times a week have shown the risk of dementia to diminish by 40% from Stanford University.
And who wants dementia? I mean, that must be the worst thing
yes.
to get. Mm-hmm. I mean, a little bit of everyone's joking that they have it sort of. But to really get it when you're old, that must be so awful.
And if there was a medication that could do this, it would be the most expensive medication that you could ever.
It would be a Nobel Prize winner, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, but the answer is right here in front of us. Yes. Let's just go out for some walks. And it's
so now
free.
We provide. Now I'm pleased. Now
we have all the facts.
Why?
Because here's what. So the why behind the what. But then the question is how.
Mm.
How do we make this happen? And in all of our super busy lives, what can we do? So if we start of that, like as individuals, just sort of looking after ourselves, and we can look into a little bit more like family members, maybe team leaders, like there are different parts of this. But what can we do for ourselves? What are you doing, Josephine?
Well, I was reflecting upon this because I'm doing part of the training, which, you know, I have a really good friend who is a doctor, Vivica.
Mm-hmm.
And she's telling, you know, that Swedes do this a lot. We go to the gym 3 times a
mm-hmm.
week and then
mm-hmm.
and then we think that we're really good and fit and then we don't understand why we're not. So I'm good at that. I'm good at getting my 3 times a week exercise,
uh-huh.
for example.
Yes,
in.
You are.
Because I actually like it.
Yes.
I think it's really fun.
Yes.
But I was reflecting the other day, especially now when working from home, how much I end up still sitting still, despite being so aware of the things that I can do.
Yeah.
I have bought a bike, which is one thing that I've done now. So I'm working and got a co-working office space to not sit at home every day. So
I just envision you riding this bike in beautiful Mallorca and like, but isn't it dangerous? Like, I do remember like these narrow roads,
yeah.
you know, like.
Yeah, it is pretty narrow. And, you know, it's pretty, I'm being very careful, obviously, but it's a little bit tight. It's my first day, so we'll see.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
but it's also a lot of bicycle roads and so on. It's such a popular place to be biking. A lot of people around the whole world come to Mallorca to bike. So the cars, you know, are relatively
respectful,
kind.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
They move out a lot. But then in terms of other things that I'm doing or that I'm wanting to do more of into my life, that is related to those kind of micro habits.
Yeah.
And actually, I know that Vivica will be creating a book. We'll tell more about it when it comes out. But they're looking into those kind of micro habits and how they can be important for your life. And that could be those things like standing up in between your, you know, meetings and dance for
mm-hmm.
3 minutes.
Yes.
Or doing 10 push-ups
yes.
and, you know, doing these kind of
mm-hmm.
things. And the importance there that I have learned is really trying to tie that movement into an already existing ritual.
Mm.
So if you, between your meetings, always go and get a glass of water, that would be a perfect time. Or when you're brushing your teeth
mm-hmm.
or whenever you're
mm-hmm.
already doing something, add a small piece of movement.
Yeah. That's great.
So I have more, but let's move over to you.
Well, so yeah, okay. So I also do my tennis, my Peloton, my yoga and all of that. But if we're looking at, I think my best advice for everyone who wants more movement in their life is to get a dog.
Mm.
Because it's so good because this lovely little cute fluffy thing really wants to go out for walks, right? So morning walk, lunch walk, especially now that we're working from home often. So we do that and it's really, really nice. Another thing that I do is, as y'all know, I stand up whenever I facilitate something. I stand up and I facilitate a lot workshops. And so I stand up, I have a standing desk, and I really think that adds also a different kind of energy, right? Mm-hmm. And if I'm a little tired, like actually today, this morning, I woke up with a little bit of a headache, I also stand up just to make sure that I have a little bit more focus in there. I try to take small breaks. And when I do have participants in my classes, I do like fun things like a little bit of shoulder rollings or even the squats, like, you know, all these different things, inviting my participants to stand up and move. And it's so funny because I can just see how the energy is blooming after I do that every time. Mm. So those are the things that I try to do to really make sure that I'm there. And then when I do travel, like, for example, Atlanta is my home airport. It's the largest airport in the world, apparently, and it's quite big. I try to, if I'm not in a stress for my flight, to walk instead of taking the train between the terminals, right? And make sure, like, what can I do? And that makes me think of, as you said, back in Sweden, I used to go to this nice gym in the middle of Stockholm, and all these trendy people would come there. And it was so funny. They were all there with their fancy gym bags and gym clothes and everything. And they would all take the escalator up to the gym.
Yeah.
Right. It was like, yeah, no one took the stairs. And it's like, well, you know, so I tried to really think about taking the stairs, see if I can walk instead of taking the car, like not park just next to the place, but, you know, see all these little movements as good things to make a big difference.
Yeah. No, that's really great. And that makes me think of, there's an example of this writer, the playwright Henrik Ibsen, who lived in Norway.
Mm-hmm.
And he would always take this really famous walk. Every day he would take a walk just for lunch.
Yeah.
So, and he'd walk to Grand Hotel and then he would walk back. And he made this very clear. And when people asked him about his walk, it was a daily routine that he always had in order to stimulate creativity.
Yeah.
And that ritual was always followed by him sitting down and writing.
Yeah.
And when that was told to me, I was reflecting upon that, because I certainly feel when we're home at Lindalen, I walk a lot, because mm-hmm. I always walk to put the, you know, one of the kids to bed or whatever. Mm-hmm. I walk with a pram and we walk that stretch. And I often feel like I do have my best ideas and most creative kind of thoughts during uh-huh. those walks. I often walk on my own when you're not there.
Yeah.
and it's really creative. But what I do feel is so incredibly important and I want to be better at is then to have that ritual when you come back from that walk to actually put down the thoughts and the ideas and use that creativity that has been created over during that walk and turn that into something useful.
Yeah.
Because I feel like I have so many thoughts during these walks that, you know, then go away into nothing. And especially if you're like me, more of a freelancer, entrepreneur, there's a lot of demand and you have to come up with with the ideas, essentially. It's not a job that is telling you what to do.
No.
So I would just really actively now here in Mallorca, where I'm living a life which is much more, I've created a lot more space for movement and hikes and all of those things. But what I would like to do, and that I'm going to do, is to take more time to directly after those activities, put pen to paper and get ideas down.
Oh, I'm loving that. And I think that's so important. So maybe we should move from us, as you say, entrepreneurs, or you are at least and driving all of this into, so what can you do at your workplace? Let's say that you are a leader.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's because what we're saying is movement generates creativity, it generates focus, it generates energy, like it helps us in all these parts. And I love to point out when I work with this content with clients that they say that in 15 years, 40% of the jobs as we know them today will be replaced by artificial intelligence or completely transformed or by robots. So everything that is done manually, routinely, people won't be doing them in the future. It's going to be done by a machine, right?
Yeah.
So then I'm asking, what are the things that, you know, we have, the humans, like, right? What's our competitive advantage against all these, you know, machines, right? Uh-huh. Or robots. And, you know, it is our ability to be creative, to focus, to have empathy, to think outside the box. Uh-huh. And then I always ask my group, are you good at that when you're stressed, when you're low in energy? And people go like, no. So I personally think that this has sort of been traditionally something that everyone for their own, like, fix this on your own. Mm. I think this is going to be one of the more important leadership competencies of the future. Yeah. Like, how, as a leader, what do you do? So what do you think around this? What can a leader do? What are your thoughts around that? What would be helpful?
Well, I mean, first, what you mentioned now I'll go a little bit outside of the box here, but all of what you mentioned really made me think about this study that is coming out this summer from Iceland, where they significantly did a really big study looking at moving people to a 4-day work week.
Oh.
And why I'm saying that is, as you're saying, that 40% in how many years will not have, you know, their full-time jobs. Their jobs will be replaced and we need more creativity and so on. Reducing the work week to 4 days might actually be something that can happen, will happen, to some extent has to happen.
Yeah.
If computers can do a lot of our work. And then using that time for more movement and more, you know, allowing for that more creativity.
Yeah.
So I think that is something that leaders can think about, whether it is a 4-day work week or whether it's more how do employees, how are they encouraged to spend time either at work or, yeah, I mean, for a leader, I think specifically is to think at work, you know,
yes.
Could that be included in their working hours, so to say. So being a bit creative around that.
Yes, exactly. And I do think as a leader, see what can you weave into your everyday work, right? And let's say that you and your team have a super important meeting where you need to be focused and creative. Invite everyone to go for a walk and talk before you go into the meeting, right? So let's say, okay, everyone, so meeting starts in 30 minutes. Let's all get on this brainstorming. We'll walk and talk and just listen to each other before we get into this meeting, right? To have our focus there. I think if you're having the team meeting and you are meeting live, instead of sitting down, do it standing up, right? Huddle around the flip chart and write down your thoughts there. Move away all these electronic devices and just stay in the moment, in the flow.
I think that I'm working on the flip chart is such an important part. And it's also about working with hand movements, with gestures, with connecting. And my husband, he's immediately now, our whiteboard is in storage here and it's really hard to access our storage, at least the things that are far in the storage.
Oh my goodness,
and he's like, I can't think without my whiteboard, you know, I need to move. It loosens up my ideas, my creativity starts to come to me when I make my, you know, when I draw on a big piece of paper. And this is, I mean, the book that you're talking about, the what was it called again?
The Extended Mind.
The Extended Mind. I know that there's references to that, right?
Yes.
To moving your body. So that is for sure something that leaders can do and support. And also, I think for leaders, so much around it is to model behavior.
Yes.
So be the one who starts to standing up.
Yes.
Do what you and I do in workshops, which might be awkward, right? But it's the kind of like, okay, everybody, you know, you have to be the cheerleader sometime,
yes.
I think, if you're a leader, and make people or give people the possibility to try it out.
Yeah. And you know what I think is important, that when we do that as leaders, that we explain the why behind the what. Because, you know, sometimes I forget, right? And I can see everyone's like, oh, you know, who's this enthusiastic person, right? And just forcing us to stand up all the time. But really, I think we're all adults. We want to know, like, you know, what's the difference? How will our brain work differently if we stand up versus if we sit down, right? Mm. And give them the facts. And I think that is really quite important. I also think what we can do is weave in little moments of having quick, short breaks where we really allow for people to go out and move and make sure if you do have an office that you're there, like, are you having standing desks? Are you allowing for your people to get standing desks back home, right? All these things, depending on where you are in the organization, you can have a massive impact on the smartness of your people, right?
Yeah.
And it's not just about setting cool, smart goals and letting people fix this on their own, but it's sort of setting that culture.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And also perhaps, because there were some more ideas, in terms of being a bit creative around movement. So a lot of it is kind of that physical walking. And I mean, walking is the best, right? And even this research tells that, or running essentially, running in a 70% pace for 3 to 4 times a week for half an hour. Like that's the optimal kind of movement. But finding these micro movements throughout the day and being a little bit creative. So even, I mean, this might be funny, but even things like drinking or eating really strong or spicy food. And for me, this relates to movement, right? It's not physical movement, but it's moving a bit in the body.
I was thinking in my head, so you run to the bathroom. That's not what you meant.
No, but doing those kind of things. So for example, at the start of a workshop, drinking, you know, a spicy ginger shot. Creating a little bit of heat.
Yeah,
That is also something that we can talk about that in another episode, but that also relates to creating more connection with the people around you. Mm. And so is any kind of synchronous movement with, you know, with your partner, with colleagues, whatever, that is creating that feeling of collaboration, of connection. So there's a lot of different ways that you can...
I mean, there's lots of bonding happening over taking shots in a bar, I can tell you, in the group.
I guess,
can we create that feeling with a ginger shot at work? You know, why not? Like, all right,
there
everyone.
There needs to be a spicy one.
Yes.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
So that is all about work. So we've spoken about us as individuals. We've spoken about what we can do as leaders and to impact our organization, really. But here's a tricky one for you. What can we do to encourage our fellow family members to move? And you know, let's say that whoever you are listening to us right now, that you are the one being passionate about this, like the two of us. Mm-hmm. How do we get everyone else feeling passionate about this? Because that can be really hard, right?
Yeah, it can be really hard. I think family dance is kind of good.
Yeah.
Also,
you obviously don't have teenagers, but yeah, that's
exactly. It depends on the age. Again, I think modeling here is crucial. And it was really good. Steve took the initiative the other day. His brother was here, you know, and we all started to have a workout outside, put the music on. And, you know, then the kids just join automatically. They want to be part of the fun, so to say. So in that kind of age, it's about just giving the opportunities. And then I think identifying things that they like. So again, speaking about younger kids, but do they like to bike? You know, see what are the things that they want to do? And then you kind of have to just engage with that.
I find that it can be sometimes it's just working perfectly and sometimes it can be really hard. And last weekend when I was out driving, I saw this couple and they were running. Well, actually, she wasn't really running. She was sort of walking. She was all red in her face. You could see the frustration. And he was sort of skipping around her, like running with this encouraging face. And I saw this whole scenery because I was sort of driving slowly past him. And I'm like, oh my God. And I could just recognize myself, I guess, mostly in him, but sometimes in her too, right? Like all these emotions on this sort of sidewalk that was happening and how he was like, well, probably a little bit more fit than her. And you can see that he was really like wanting to give this experience of lovely out and running with his wife. And she really looked like she wanted to kill him. And it was like, and that feeling. And sometimes that enthusiasm for movement, if someone else is not really there, can also be really almost limiting, which it makes me think of another one of my favorite books and contents that I also facilitate around multipliers. That it's like this, when you have such strong feelings yourself, is you're so optimistic and you're so like pace setter, you think your intention is that everyone else will get smitten by this, like, and they will also get optimistic and speed up. But in reality, it has the opposite effect.
Yeah.
So, and I know that you and I, we both experienced this in our extended family at times. Like, how do you deal with that?
Yeah, I mean, to some extent, I think it's encouraged people to do the things that they kind of like or start easy. And again, maybe they shouldn't be out running. Maybe they should have a lovely walk. That's that couple. And then he could run off his extra energy, you know, at the end or at the start. So that we don't push too far. And they always say, right, it's just so much more important that it happens rather than that it is that big thing. I'm really hooked on this idea of micro movements just because I find it so hard myself when working. You know, I do kind of at the start of the day and at the end of the day. So just kind of encouraging those small moments, setting the timer and getting it done.
Yeah.
But people, I think it's really about starting to see the benefits. I mean, you and I both do a lot of the exercise because it makes us feel so much better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And in the end, it's for the individual, I think, to feel it.
I agree. So, but it's like, well, let's just start out walking then. Let's do something little and start with that point. And another thing that I have done with my daughters is just that, again, how do we focus, right? And just really encouraging my daughter. So this does not work in the US, but it depends where you live, but to bike to school. And really, because they're smart girls, tell them the research. Actually, it's going to help you to focus much better on that test that you have in the morning if you bike there versus if you get into daddy's car and he drives you there.
Yeah.
Or here, like the school bus. So it's like, really, again, even with younger kids, to have that talk about what it does to our brain and share the why behind the what, right?
Yeah. And it makes me terrified how much they sit down at school already here in age 5.
See, that was another example in this book that I'm so inspired of. But basically, it's like it gives me the facts for all the things that thinking are so important, but where they also, again, was talking about classrooms where they did an experiment in one school where they actually just took away the chairs. No chairs. There were bouncy balls. They could stand up and they could just, and the focus and the amount of, you know, how it really helped all these kids, which again goes back to that historical idea, like sit down and focus. It's completely counterproductive, right?
Yeah, that's super interesting. And education is so behind.
Yes.
It's scary.
Yes.
How behind education is.
Yes, exactly. So really, I think that's where we also then can contribute as parents and to sort of see, like, could your kids have a standing desk, or don't feel that they have to sit by their desk, but could they walk and talk and maybe tell you about what they learned today, like, and do a teach to learn and during their walk, rather than just sitting there punching the numbers or the writing. Like, mm-hmm. there are certain things that we need to sit down to do, but maybe we need that walk or dance or whatever it is before we sit down and actually do it.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so moving in from the physical movement and what we can do around that to our surroundings.
Yes, the physical surroundings, right?
Exactly. Because as I mentioned before, right, if movement is creating new brain cells, how do we keep them? Mm. And stimulation is really one of the key factors for keeping our new brain cells. And surrounding is such an important part of this.
Yes.
Which I didn't know much about.
But it makes sense, right?
Intuitively, it makes a lot of sense. But it's really related to seeing something new and especially seeing beautiful things.
Yes.
So seeing beautiful architecture, museums, or of course, the winner that takes it all, being in nature.
Yes.
So if we do kind of the movements that we have talked about, or if you do the exercise that we're talking about, if you're running in a treadmill in a gym, yes, you're creating perhaps the same amount of brain cells, but you won't keep them as if you're running outside in a more stimulating environment, and there will be more need for your brain cells to keep.
Yeah, I mean, personally, I just know that the healing nature of getting out in nature, it's amazing. So it's with no scientific backup, it's just my own sort of self-study, I guess, how that is so empowering to just get out there and get that beautiful nature. And again, I read studies also in the extended mind. It's like packed with studies for everyone who wants the fact around where they did research, where they let people go for a walk, and one was sort of staying in the city environment and one group got to walk in the park. So you don't need to go to like the like extraordinary mountain range or beaches or anything like that. But the difference that you were in the greenery with the trees and the park just added so much more value to your brain, really.
Yeah.
So to be a little bit more mindful of where we do that movement, I think that is key.
Yes. And like you said, though, you don't have to be in the most beautiful place, but when you can, and
yes,
if you can, this idea of being in awe, which can happen, you know, with beautiful music, but also with beautiful, beautiful nature and surroundings. Psychologist says that that is like setting a reset button for our mind. So it gives this other piece of calm, of connection, of understanding that we are quite small, but in a beautiful way, we become insignificant in that really great way, which means that the problems of the world are no longer on our shoulders. So that is, you know, being able. And so perhaps, you know, if you can go occasionally, I mean, we've done that several times, to like a beautiful retreat or doing something in a different place that is new to you, that will really, I mean, you already know intuitively that that feels good, but actually the research is now backing up that that is going to make you smarter and happier and more open.
You know, so that it makes me think. So I've really been quite good at this fall. So, and this has been an idea to all fellow travelers who travel for work. And it's so easy to just go to that new place and be absorbed. And you're thinking that I'm away from home, so let's use this time productively and work, right? Mm-hmm. But then a month ago or so, I was in Torrey Pines to do a keynote. And it was two keynotes and I needed to be present for dinners and things. But then I just took time out and I went on that most amazing hike, right? In this nature, and then coming down to this like Pacific Ocean, beautiful, gorgeous. I'm still living off that energy.
Yeah.
And it's like, so even though it was like, oh, where do I find this place? You know, it was a little bit inconvenient. It could have been easier to just stay. I had a nice sort of view from my balcony, but just to do that extra in movement and thinking, it just gave me so many ideas and so much energy. So it does take a little bit extra effort, but look for it, right?
Yeah, no, absolutely. Another point in relation to that is to give that your full attention.
Yes.
So there's this idea around not consuming. And of course, we love podcasts. Yeah. We love that you listen to our podcast, perhaps when you're moving, but also turn it off.
Yeah.
Also let yourself be there with your thoughts. Because this constant consumption means that we don't learn. There's no development of our own thoughts, our own ideas. Yeah. We need that space.
So I think podcasts are great for when you're in your car or traveling. But I never listen to anything when I walk, unless I call like you or someone else. Like, but I don't even want music when I'm running. Mm. I want to absorb the sounds of my surroundings, if you wish.
I'm not there yet, but perhaps I'm trying. I will be there. And then a final point on surroundings is this idea for our brain to learn how we can just use the surroundings of where we're working differently during the day in order to maximize our learning so that we can move around.
Mm.
So, for example, if you're learning something new or if you're reading something, you could do one chapter in one specific location and then do something else in a different location of the house. And there are many reasons for this, but a really important reason is that it helps our brain to file the information related to the location that we were in.
Yeah.
So it's much easier to access the information if you remember, I was sitting on that park bench outside.
Yeah. Yes.
And a lot of it will come back to you.
And I know you probably can't tell us very much yet, but this is so interesting because this is kind of what you and Steve are trying to build and create your vision for Mallorca, really, to give everyone that space.
Yes.
Can you share a little bit about it, or is it
more to come? But for sure, we want to find a place where people can come and work and be productive and do all of these things that they might do with their teams, but do that in a setting where they can also really focus on their health, being in nature, to kind of get that full, holistic, nurturing experience.
I can't wait for that to happen in reality.
Oh. Yeah. So finally, the grand finale, talking about energy. So we've talked about how to move throughout your day. Mm-hmm. And then all of this could boil down to also, you know, how do we keep our energy flowing and going throughout the day?
Yes. How do we keep our focus, energy? And we thought we'd do a little, let you, if you want to join us in a little activity, something that I do with my clients also when I work with the time and energy parts. And it's just very simple. And it is drawing your own energy line. So basically, if you have just a piece of paper and you'd sort of draw a big line across that paper. So you're drawing now, right?
I'm doing it right now.
Yeah. And you have the starting point is your wake up. And the ending point is sleep, right? When you go to bed, right? Or when you fall asleep, right? So wake up to fall asleep. That's your straight line.
Yeah.
Now, think about a typical workday, right? So let's not do weekends here. But a typical workday, how does your energy fluctuate? So, for example, like I'm a morning person. So usually I wake up like let's say that line represents average energy, right? The one you draw.
Yeah.
And then it's like, I go up from average to like, whoa, lots of energy in my morning. So you just really feel, if I don't do anything actively to sort of keep that energy stable, I'm going to have a mega dip by after lunch, right? So it's like that's when I'm sort of dipping, and then I'm sort of struggling. I'm getting up in the afternoon, and like by the time it's time to finish, I'm sort of up again. And then usually, again, if I don't do anything about it, it happens that I'm like giving so much energy at work that when it's my workday ends, I'm like, like this yeah. balloon that lets out of air and it goes sort of down, unless I do something like go to play tennis. Then mm-hmm. I'm like, oh, there's it. So what would your typical energy line look like, Josephine? Did you draw it now?
Yeah, I mean, I did draw it. I kind of stopped somewhere in the midst because I got so fascinated by hearing about your line. at the moment, mine has started so tired in the mornings. And then, but then, yes, then going really high and productive and then dipping. I mean, it's probably a relatively similar pattern. So I guess what is interesting to see is how do you increase that window of tolerance, you know? Yes. How do you make that dip lower and more constant?
Yes, exactly. So that's the whole point. So draw your energy line, share it with someone and have a look at it. And then take a moment and pause and think about what can you do about these dips? Is that where you need to go for a walk? Is that, how do you recharge? And how do you, you know, get back in energy? And also then you can start to think, what different activities do I do in my day that fits that level of energy too, right? Mm. So it's okay. Maybe it's like, okay, my energy is a little bit lower at that point. So guess what? That's going to be my cozy time and I'm going to have a cup of tea and just read a book and it's going to be okay, right?
Yeah, so. Exactly. So maybe looking into movement that we've talked about today, mm-hmm. obviously, nutrition and then rest.
Yeah.
So where do you fit in your breaks?
Yeah, your power nap.
How do you recharge?
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah. So everyone.
Thank you for that.
Yeah. Yeah. So post your energy lines. Let us know how you're doing. And thank you everyone so much for listening. And if you think that there's someone around you that could, you know, benefit from a little bit of an energy boost or maybe get some inspiration around why we should be moving, or what we can do about it in our families, for ourselves, and in the organizations that we work in, feel free to share.
Send it to your leaders.
Yes.
Yeah. Or your team.
Yes. So thank you, everyone, for listening.
Yes. Thank you, everyone, for listening. Have a beautiful day.
Bye.
Bye.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.